nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much. Hey, you try and change me, you can go to hell. 'Cause I don't wanna be nobody else. I like the chip I got in my front teeth, and I got bad tattoos you won't believe. So kick out the jams, kick up the soul, pour another glass of that rock and roll. Turn up the band, find the hole, gonna lose control tonight. What do you want from me?
Good morning, lovelies. It is Tuesday, December the 12th, and we're so happy that you are joining us again. And I would love to say thank you to Jeff Pickle and the rest of the team at 570 News who picked up the slack for me yesterday when I couldn't do it. And it was wonderful that I didn't have to worry too much about it while I was kind of hacking and staying in bed. So thank you. Thank you to them. It's always kind of stressful. I mean, any time that somebody's sick at work, you know somebody has to pick up the slack, right? But can you imagine, you know, being told, oh, you have to go sit and do a show that you've not prepared for in any way, shape, or form? Not that I'm not trying to say that this job is hard at all. It's a lovely privilege, and it comes quite easily to the big mouths of the world, of which, you know, there are quite a few in this building. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you. I'm not the only one. So anyway, thanks to the 570 team for picking up the slack. And I got some nice emails from, I got two nice emails from you guys to Jennifer at 570news.com asking if I was okay. And then I got one from a guy who hoped I got fired. So thank you to the two people who checked to see if I was okay. And I'm sorry to the guy who is sad this morning because I'm still here. Sorry, dude. Maybe next time. Okay, lots to talk about this morning, including a couple things I found last minute. So producer James is probably rolling his eyes already over there as I like go a little rogue here. But can I just tell you guys, can I just have a Kathy Lee moment? I just want to have one little Kathy Lee moment here. My son's daycare provider, he goes for about an hour before school in the morning. She sent me this picture this morning. She texted me this picture, and I sent it to our friends at Rogers TV. So, oh, there he, look at my baby. So she texts me this picture, my daycare provider. She said, two of the cuties, these two are thick as thieves. They're in the same class together. That's Asen, my son, and Charlotte. And they decided that they wanted to go outside and shovel all the neighbors' driveways this morning at daycare before they went to school. Right? Who doesn't want to brag about their kid just for a minute or two? But I did realize quickly that if I was going to brag about my child's generous, beautiful little spirit, that I should probably allow you to do the same. So if you want to, if you got a braggy kid moment happening in your life, maybe it was over the weekend, maybe it was this morning, whatever, please do send it to me, Jennifer at 570news.com. Because, you know, sometimes as moms and dads, we get wrapped up in, you know, doing our job as moms and dads. And we don't take a minute to kind of go, oh, I think this kid might turn out okay. I don't think I have messed them up to the point of no return. So if you want to have a little kid brag moment this morning, that picture of my son and his little, his BFF from his class shoveling everybody's driveways. Now let's, because sometimes, you know, when kids shovel, it's a little counterproductive, you know, you're like, oh no, the pile doesn't go in the middle of the driveway. So I hope it all turned out well for them. And I know that they both had the best of intentions. So you want to brag about your kid? I want to hear about your kid. Jennifer at 570news.com. Or you can call us too, *570-519-570-2545. Okay, what about this kid? Did you see this viral video of Keaton Jones? He's a boy from Tennessee. His mom recorded this heartbreaking anti-bullying message. I know that Jeff Pickle was filling in yesterday, covered this. And his mom posted this video of him, you know, after a horrible day at school, and the world responded well. The world, you know, kind of picked up the pieces for Keaton, and celebrities were inviting him to movie openings and so on and so forth. Well, now his mother facing some very tough questions. What are those questions? And what is her response? We're going to talk about that coming up in just a few minutes. All right. What's happening with all of this snow? I kind of love it. I'm going to be that jerk right now. I want to have a white Christmas. Do you want to have a white Christmas? I definitely want to have a white Christmas. So we're going to talk to Dave Phillips, who's a senior climatologist at Environment Canada, coming up to find out what this special weather statement means and how long it will remain in effect. Also, we have Donald Trump's accusers demanding Congress investigate the sexual misconduct claims. So we'll get into that for you as well. But right now, I suppose we should get right underway then as we talk about our first topic this morning. Last week, we talked to Louisa D'Amato about a piece she had written in the Record talking about Harold Albrecht walking a political tightrope. Kitchener-Conestoga MP Harold Albrecht walking that tightrope between his very social conservative values and the changing nature of the people that he represents. I'm not a fan of Mr. Albrecht at all. Not just because of, you know, the thinly veiled homophobia, the thinly veiled misogyny and sexism. Mostly because he always has a really good reason why he should be allowed to be homophobic. Like, for example, the rainbow flag. Oh, well, the rules say we're not allowed to have any other flags on the pole. And there's always, and I'm saying really good reason with a lot of sarcasm in my voice. I don't think that's a good reason at all. And another example I'll give you is when the abortion pill was approved in Canada. Harold Albrecht, you said, oh, this is a very bad idea. This pill is probably going to kill people, ignoring the science, ignoring the World Health Organization that deemed it safe in a plethora of countries for years and years and years. So I think it's the thinly veiled part that bothers me the most. If you want to be a jackwad, then go ahead and be a jackwad. But then to pretend your reasons are anything but what they truly are, I just think it's cowardly. I think it's cowardly. If you want to say, oh, well, you know, remember he sat down in the apology speech that Justin Trudeau did a couple weeks ago in Parliament. He sat down and didn't stand up at the end to applaud like most of the MPs did. Not all of them. He was within a group of people. It went a little too far. It just, we're going to call a spade here. And I think that he is a homophobe and I think that he is a misogynist. And so that's what I think he is. And also the part where he says things like this and then says, but no questions. I don't have to answer your questions. I think that's baloney too. You're a politician. You do need to answer people's questions. Yeah, you do. And I know that most politicians do a very delicate dance around certain issues, but to say, the abortion pill is going to kill people. No questions, please. The rainbow flag is a problem. No questions, please. It's cowardly. I find it cowardly. I got an email from a contact that I know from business and beyond that said, I know someone who grew up in Harold Albrecht's riding and struggled with it a lot because she has come out as queer. And would you like to speak to her? Could you have her on your show to talk about what it was like to grow up with somebody like Harold Albrecht as their MP? And I said, absolutely, we'd love to do that. So joining us this morning is Hillary Gingrich, now lives in Toronto with her partner. And she says that Harold Albrecht's homophobia did definitely have an impact on her life. Hillary, good morning. Thanks for coming on with us.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm very, very thrilled that you're taking the time and that we have an opportunity to kind of really get a story that is, hands-on about what it is like to grow up as someone who doesn't perhaps fit the norm or the expectation that Harold Albrecht and people who vote similarly to him have.
No, for sure. And I just want to, first of all, just thank you for having me on the show. I think it's really important to amplify queer voices, especially with queer issues like this. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I'm so glad you're doing it. So why don't we go back then? Tell us, I mean, with a name like Gingrich, we know you're from Kitchener, Waterloo, Woolwich, surrounding area.
Yeah, so Go ahead.
Take us back and tell us about your upbringing and your and perhaps even religious background and what it was like to grow up. Where did you grow up?
Sure. So I grew up in New Hamburg, so Wilmot, township, so right in the throes of Harold's area. I went to Waterloo, Oxford, as everyone there does, and I moved to Toronto just after high school. My family, I didn't grow up going to church or any particular religion, but my dad's side obviously has the Mennonite Christian background with the last name, like, Gingrich. and then I ended up here.
So growing up in New Hamburg, I mean, did you have a sense that you were growing up in what is essentially a pretty conservative community? Obviously, like you say, you knew your heritage, but you weren't, you know, going to church every weekend or perhaps having it as in your face as some residents of Woolwich would be. But so what was that experience like for you then?
For sure. Well, I think even the fact that that my sister and I and my family, we didn't go to church, I mean, that was kind of outside of the norm. So, like, even knowing that, I think we got quite an idea that it was a pretty conservative area.
And so as you're growing up, are you living in a household that were you out to your parents or your family, or was that something that didn't happen until you reached adulthood?
I think definitely it happened later on. I mean, there's a lot of, especially in rural communities, the isolation, there's a lot of, like, internalized homophobia that you have to work through, especially as a teenager. They're such formative years anyway in terms of figuring out your identity. Adding a queer identity to that is a lot more confusing and isolating. So I think it definitely takes kids in the area, I mean, quite a bit longer to figure out who they are, and their identity as a whole. Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up in a very small town and went to high school in a town of, about 12,000 people. And I remember, as a heterosexual female thinking, God, I just want out of this town. I really want to have a bigger kind of more open-minded experience, here. And I would imagine that was reflected in your thoughts too.
Yeah, for sure. You just kind of, check out of high school a little bit when it feels like you're not, you know, where you're supposed to be kind of thing, and just kind of looking for the end goal, the, like, light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing. Harold is represented as a public figure, right? So his comments, whether they are or not, are presented as representative of people in the area. As I mentioned, even though they may not be in totality, and as adults, we can kind of separate that, but youth take that on, right? They see that. They see this as their community. Isolation, again, and internalized homophobia, just kind of, it feels like there's nowhere to go, really. And obviously that impacts grades, mental health, depression. I mean, one of the biggest things, too, one of the biggest concerns with this is suicide in queer youth. It's like totally disproportionate to that of peers. One in three of every queer youth attempt suicide, so it's like 30% compared to 6% of their peers.
Which is, I mean, it's a staggering number. And
right.
So when you were, what years were you a teenager then, Hillary, in New Hamburg?
Right. So I was at WO from 2006 to 2010.
Yeah. So we're talking, that's relatively recently.
Yeah. It's relatively recently.
Yeah. So
2006 is when Harold took office. So right in the throes of the beginning of that.
And you're right, as someone, you know, in a small community, when you see somebody, you know, who wins a political seat or who wins that member of parliament seat, that I think speaks to not just children or teenagers. It speaks to all of us that these are the values that our community wants to see represented in parliament. And
sure.
that's overwhelming to be rejected in a way that doesn't just feel like, you know, one politician, the community that got him there. Probably it feels much bigger than you know, just Harold Albrecht.
Well, and especially just going back to his track record a little bit. I mean, this is somebody, I don't know how much you know about, but this is somebody we knew was homophobic from, like, right from the beginning. Before he was elected, he was part of some Christian fundamentalist groups who lobbied against equal marriage.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote in 2003 that, like, queer unions would succeed in wiping out an entire society in just one generation. So, I mean, I think when you look at, I mean, I know you made this comment last week as well in your conversation with Louisa, but when you look at his actions, his recent actions just with respect to the apology and the rainbow flag, Louisa said that you couldn't really call those homophobic on their own. First of all, I think you absolutely can.
So do I. I totally agree. Yep.
And I think it's a little bit invalidating to queer people to hear somebody say that,
mm-hmm.
Invalidates their feelings a bit. But this is also a man who has, like, a very long track record
mm-hmm.
with yeah. homophobic comments and homophobic actions.
And collectively, you're right. You put them all together. The answer, I mean, you got to call it spade a spade.
Yeah.
If maybe it was just one of those things, I agree with you. It'd still be, it is homophobic. But I mean, the evidence is mounting and it's overwhelming. And I don't feel like making any sort of excuses for him. Especially since he doesn't want to defend his own ignorance and ill-informed. And I say that
right.
because, you know, if you're telling me that, you know, same-sex unions are going to wipe out an entire, you know, species of same-sex marriages in one generation, then I'm sorry, you don't understand math or science or,
right.
you know, anything. But,
I mean, I remember, I think this, like, went viral online, but when, in 2006, during the federal election, I don't know if you remember, but Stephen Harper's, like, party aides ended up hiding Harold in like a kitchen galley so that he wouldn't speak to the reporters about queer unions because they were so embarrassed. They were like, oh, we don't know what he's going to say, right?
Even the conservatives were hiding
yeah.
him in the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's something we can ignore here. It's just history there.
Yeah. So now, Hillary, you live in Toronto now.
Yes.
And is that because of work? Is that because of opportunity or desire? Like, you know, we just talked about sometimes those of us who grew up in a small town desperately kind of want to experience something more urban. Or is it, do you directly relate, like, you know, not wanting to live in your hometown to the ideas and ideologies that are held by not just their MP, but some of the constituents?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. It's a totally different environment. And even when people are, like, okay with you being queer, okay with, like, you and your partner out and about, I mean, you're still kind of, like, there is that isolation, right? There's not the numbers there, so
mm-hmm.
it's hard to have kind of like a queer community
mm-hmm.
In the small towns, which is really important as an adult, for sure, but, I mean, even more as a teen growing up there.
What would you say, as Hillary Gingrich is our, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your last name, Hillary. I worked with a guy named Ben, and he always said Gingrich. So if I'm messing with your pronunciation, my apologies.
No worries.
So what do you say then, Hillary, to another youth who is, you know, questioning things or trying to figure out their identity or is definitely knows that they are gay or queer or trans or bisexual and growing up in a small rural area like you do? What would your advice be to that person?
I mean, it's hard knowing that kind of like the only way through is forward, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I would say, I mean, as cheesy as this may sound, like it does get better and you find a community and like a queer community that loves and respects you. And, I mean, even our area has some resources that maybe people don't know about. And if you don't mind, I'll totally plug
yes,
some of those
absolutely.
Here.
Yeah. Do it. Absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, in terms of numbers, I just want to mentioned the Trans Lifeline, and you can Google the number for that.
Mm-hmm.
They're a really great resource. There's a queer youth line for all of Ontario. They have a texting option. They have a live chat option, which is great, especially if you're looking to kind of be discreet. And, I mean, lots of people don't like speaking on the phone, right? Wilmot specifically, Interfaith Counseling is a really great resource and queer-friendly. And KW has a pretty cool queer youth group you can drop in there. So, I mean, there are those resources in the area, too, if it's feeling kind of lonely.
Hillary, I'm completely out of time, and I want you to know that I so appreciate yours. And anybody who wants more information on any of those resources that Hillary has mentioned, Hillary, if you don't mind, I'll tell them to email me, Jennifer@570news.com, and then I will get them kind of in contact with you, and you can set them up in the best way that
Perfect.
You see fit.
Sounds great.
Hillary, I appreciate your time. And
thank you so much, Jennifer.
Anytime. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And hopefully we see some change in your hometown at some point soon.
Yes.
Take good care. Thanks, Hillary.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. It is 9:25, completely late, off the rails. I'll blame the cold meds, but I gotta take a break. And we'll be back after this on The Jennifer Campbell Show.
When extreme weather hits, count on the 570 Extreme Weather Center.
Okay, after the news at 9:30, we have a lot to get to. We're going to talk about this weather and the special weather statement that remains in effect right now. How much more will we see? Also, the mother of Keaton Jones, that's the Tennessee boy who made headlines as he went viral yesterday with a heartbreaking anti-bullying message, has some questions to answer. We're going to find out what those questions are coming up as well. And the Trump groping investigation. Let's hope we can get to that, too, after the news at 9:30 on 570 News.
You can scroll through your selfies all day.
Let me take a selfie.
Or put some actual news in your news feed. Click on 570news.com or go to your app store and download the 570 News app.
And there's just something so fun about snow around Christmas time. And I think that we probably all want. Do we all want a white Christmas? Are there people who do not want a white Christmas? You Scroogey McGrinchersons. Seriously. A lot of people say, you know, I'd like it just for Christmas and then it can all go away. and here's what I know. As someone who grew up in Northern Ontario and, you know, being from the Maritimes and moving around a lot to different cities that had different, you know, snow accumulation levels, you have to find the thing to do in the snow that makes you hate the snow less. You have to find it, people. You've got to find those outdoor rinks. You've got to take up snowmobiling. I mean, if you got a lot of money. Skiing. Our family skis and snowboards. And, oh my gosh, having Chicopee right here is just the best thing ever because the resort is safe and wonderful and our kids can kind of go off on their own. But honestly, once you find something to do in the snow that you love, then you resent it less. You know, you actually kind of get a bit of a buzz and a kick out of it. And I think it's the only way. And it's super Canadian, too. So just embrace it if you can. Dave Phillips joins us, senior climatologist from Environment Canada. And we'll talk about this special weather statement that remains in effect this morning. Hello, Dave. Thanks for coming on with us.
Oh, you're so welcome, Jennifer. And you're so right about that. I think we need to embrace winter. I mean, it's too long of a season to feel storm-stayed indoors. And it's not a four-letter word, snow. I mean, it's actually good for the economy, and people have fun in it. I don't ski or snowmobile, but I love to walk in the snow, and I love to hear that crunch of snow. And I think about the fact that I'm walking on snow, and I'm actually crushing all those ice crystals, and that's why it sounds the way it does. So I think think it's good for the economy. Actually, in Quebec, they make more money off of the snow than it costs them to shovel it. So I think we are the snowiest country in the world, Jennifer. So
yeah.
It's part of our who we are as Canadians. So I think you're right. We need to embrace it and not just curse it, but to bless it.
That's it. And I mean, it's okay to be annoyed by it once in a while, but
sure.
It reminds me of people who kind of like live for the weekends. I think I always think to myself, well, what about Wednesday? We should just celebrate Wednesday too. And then they call
Absolutely.
Me, a bit of a hippie but that's okay. That's okay. So what is happening out there, Dave? And we'll pose some impossible questions. How many centimeters did we get here in Kitchener-Waterloo overnight?
Well, we haven't finished counting them, but it looks like about 10 centimeters. Started yesterday afternoon about 4 o'clock and then eased up a little bit and then began in earnest around midnight. So what we've seen so far, maybe 10, another 5 today. So about 15 centimeters of snow. A year ago, we just finished a 30-centimeter snowfall in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. So this is not unusual. It's certainly looking like winter. Now it's going to feel like winter because one of the things, this is an Alberta clipper that came through. It was almost as if it was scripted. My gosh, it began about noon in Windsor, came up the 401, and started snowing late last night in Ottawa and snowing now hard there. And so it's beginning to ease off in some parts of Ontario, but because it really encourages the cold air to kind of rush down behind it, it turns on that lake effect snow engine because the waters of the Great Lakes are pretty warm. We're wide open, and what we see are special weather statements referring to the fact that some areas, there's warning, a snow squall warning, Grey Bruce here in Perth, London, Middlesex, Sarnia, Lambton, because the snow it could be steady. If these snow bursts kind of get stationary, you could end up with 30 centimeters in 24 hours. And also some strong winds, Jennifer. I mean, these winds are powerful. They're gusting up to maybe 60, 70. So a lot of that snow that's falling will just be blowing around. And we see a bit of low visibility. And then, of course, we see the rest of the week in Kitchener-Waterloo. We see flurries in the air every day. So that dreaming of a white Christmas is a done deal. I mean, it's still more than a week away, but there's nothing that I see, Jennifer, that's going to assault the snow that you've got. It's going to freshen it up. It's always going to be white. Those yellow stains at the end of the driveway is going to be nicely covered up. And in fact, people who dream of a white Christmas will have it. And we may even have on Christmas Day the perfect Christmas Day. Now, that's not when the in-laws leave early. It is when you get that Christmas card look, Jennifer. You've got snow on the ground, 2 centimeters or more. That's what you need for a white Christmas. And, you haven't had many. Jennifer, when I look at the numbers for Kitchener-Waterloo, you've had 2 white Christmases in the last 6 years.
We're due.
You are. Now, you had one last year,
yes.
But that doesn't mean that it's going to be an off year. I think I would bet more than a few loonies on the fact that it'll be a white Christmas this year, and it'll be that Christmas card look because there could be flurries in the air. So along with the turkey and the tinsels could be that snow, kind of a Christmas card look to it. And then, of course, a lot of your listeners are probably saying, okay, I'll accept that, but Boxing Day, melt it all. I don't want to see any more of it.
They need to get to the malls quickly. Dave Phillips is our guest. Senior climatologist from Environment Canada. Yeah, that sounds like it'll make for some wonderful, Instagram pictures on Christmas morning. We'll all be sharing the pictures of our kids out there, maybe playing with some new Christmas toboggans or sleds or snowball makers. And so we can look at it as an opportunity to maybe get them away from the brand new tech and get them outside and, take some pictures.
Absolutely. And it's good for the economy. I mean, the skiing the snowmobiling. I mean, it'd be a little early for snowmobiling, but certainly what we're seeing is the ground is now freezing up and the ice is forming. And so, maybe we'll have kind of an honest kind of a winter, not one that's sort of just here today, gone tomorrow. It's it will be one where, you can actually feel safe skiing and snowmobiling and and here on a Monday or Tuesday, you can plan something on the weekend and be sure that it's going to be there. And so it's you know, I think we, as you said right at the top, we need to enjoy it, see what it's for worth, and then, you know, I mean, my gosh, before too long, a week from now, Jennifer, the days will be getting longer.
That's,
I mean,
right.
That's always something. Now, they get longer by seconds a day,
mm-hmm.
but hey, nevertheless, they're in the right direction, and so it'll be, and you know, the last couple of winters have been rather balmy, and so I think we're in due for a kind of a traditional kind of a winter, one that that we have the promise of the cold and the snow, but a little, we'll get a January thaw, and February, we'll talk about the groundhog, and then, hey, March might come in like a lamb and out like a lion, or vice versa, and then, my gosh, spring will be here.
That's right, and you're right. We have to just love all of the seasons and all of the
right.
times we're in, because this is where we are. Be where you're at.
Exactly. We're Canadian.
We
talk about the weather more than any other subject, and because we have lots of it, but we're also short tension spans, Jennifer. We need that change of seasons, and we're lucky to have four seasons. Some people just have a dry and a wet season. Well, we have all four and five, maybe, and it's something that we need to celebrate and not to run away from.
We have some brilliant sunshine pouring through our studio windows here this morning on the boardwalk in Kitchener. Dave Phillips, we'll thank you for that.
Okay, well, you know, I get blamed for all the nasty weather. It's about time that somebody gives me credit for the good weather.
All the kudos to you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Enjoy your day. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Take good care. Bye-bye. 9:42. Maybe I'll try and stay in time. Should I try and stay in time this break? Should I? You know, Deanna, producer Deanna is like, yeah, okay, I'll believe it when I see it. I just, no, before I forget, because I am a little stoned on cold drug meds. Did I already say that? Because if I did, it's because I'm stoned on cold meds. I'm trying. So I don't know if I already said this, but getting some great emails into Jennifer at 570news.com. And this one is from Alexa. And I need to remember to tell you this more often. Alexa, she starts here. I'll read it to you. Alexa says, good morning, Jennifer. Hello. I hate to be a bad feminist. I love your show, but I really want to know about the blouse you're wearing. Well, Alexa, let me tell you, I'm in love with it too. We can be equal and we can be different. We can still love good things. She wants me to move so she can see it. It's from La Creme. La Creme dresses me in St. Jacobs. Oh my gosh. Do yourself a favor and get out there to La Creme, because the gifts are phenomenal. And if I can also just give you a little tip here, I know that La Creme's 12 Days of Christmas, I sound like I made Alexa up. I promise I didn't. 12th Day of Christmas is today at La Creme. Save 40% off any one item. So they are open till 6 today. But yes, Alexa, sorry, we're going to have dead air for a second. There's the blouse from La Creme. Everything in that store. Oh my gosh. And really, really, some of it's really quite reasonable. Some of it is beautiful, high-end, schwanky stuff that I'm so glad La Creme dresses me, because I can't afford it on my own. And some of it's super affordable and beautiful. And she asked what color it was. What color is this, producer Deanna? It's kind of pink. It's pinkish. It's a baby pink-ish. Okay. Anyway, I love La Creme. And I should mention that more often, that they dress me, because I'm very grateful for that. So thank you, Alexa, for bringing it up. If you're watching us on Rogers TV, you enjoyed that. If you're listening to us on 570 News, you're like, seriously, get on with it. That's what we'll do when we get back from this break on the Jennifer Campbell Show.
We crowdsource our traffic from the bumper to bumper crowd surrounding you.
Real-time traffic solutions from sources across the city and you. Your traffic team is 570 News, Kitchener's breaking news, traffic, and weather station.
Okay, we come back with like this whirlwind of emotions about this story from yesterday about a kid from Tennessee. He's in middle school. We call that junior high in Canada, don't we? His name's Keaton Jones, and he had a horrible day, an awful day, and it doesn't sound like this was an isolated day at school. And his mom took a video of him talking, and it quickly went viral. And let me tell you, when I listened to Keaton and when I watched him, I mean, your heart gets ripped the heck out, because you just don't want your child to ever feel those feelings. You don't want people to be cruel to your child, and you don't, you want to protect them. I mean, I'm not saying anything that any parent doesn't realize or know. And when you can't be there all the time to protect them, I think that's what's the hardest. If you could just, you know, leave that umbilical cord attached or cocoon them a little longer. That's what we're all scared of when they go to school. Nobody loves that baby more than I love that baby. And I have to deliver him into the hands of people who have a lot going on and so on and so forth. So listen, let's listen to this video of Keaton talking about the bullies at his school, because there is some follow-up here, and it's not good follow-up about some stuff about his mom, but then there's better stuff after that. It's honestly, this entire situation is taking me through the full range of emotions, and I know Jeff did this story for you yesterday when he was filling in for me, but I want you to hear the video. So this is Keaton talking to his mom about how he was being treated at school.
Just out of curiosity, why did they go away? What's the point of it? Why did my joy in taking innocent people and finding a way to be mean to them? It's not okay.
What did they say to you?
They make fun of my nose. They call me ugly. They say I have no friends. People that are different don't need to be criticized about it. It's not their fault. But if you are made fun of, just don't let it bother you. Just stay strong, I guess. It's hard. But it'll probably get better one day.
It's wrenching. It's so hard to listen to, isn't it? So then a whole bunch of celebrities respond to Keaton. Chris Evans said, hey, how do you want to, he's from Captain America, said, why don't you come to a movie premiere with me? And Katy Perry responded to him, and football players, and everybody was inviting him to games just to give him a boost, because it really sounded like this child was alone and that he didn't have anybody on his team. And I was like, oh God, look at the world is doing all these good things. And I was very emotional about that too. And I'm sure you were too, as a mom, and good for his mom to be able to kind of stand there. I mean, I would have been just bawling. I'm crying right now. I'm not going to lie. Like when you think about that being your child or anybody's child, it just breaks your heart and it makes you furious. And I thought that his mom did a really good job of just letting him tell his story. And because it's your overwhelming desire is to soothe that baby, is to, you know, give him love and tell him it is going to get better. And it won't always be like this, but she really let him tell his story. So all the celebrities respond, hey, Keaton, we want to get you, you know, a posse, some people, which was wonderful. And then this morning, it comes out that the mom of Keaton, who is, and I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get this post up so I can get it, I can read it correctly for you. The mom of Keaton, whose name is Kimberly Jones, people started to dig into her Facebook page and found a lot of racist kind of, there were pictures of her, for example, standing with the Confederate flag. And there were pictures of her saying, you know, slamming Americans for being butthurt for crying about slavery and racism. There were some reports that perhaps Keaton was bullied because he was calling black kids names and that they defended themselves. So let's just get this straight. And this was a post I saw on Facebook that said, you know, let's get this straight. Kid makes video crying about bullies. Video goes viral. Pro athletes and celebrities start posting their support for Keaton. Family gets a GoFundMe page. Internet private eyes start digging into who the family is. They find out Keaton comes from a full-blown racist Confederate flag-waving family. And then they find out Keaton was bullied because he had called black kids horrible names and they were defending themselves. This person says, I'm crying. This is the most 2017 story of 2017. people comment saying, you know, oh, I hate the internet. And I suppose we don't know, you know, some of those quotes that, you know, that Keaton was bullying, he was calling people names, are not verified here. And now this morning his mom has responded, and said she wishes she could take back the posts with the Confederate flag, that it was at a barbecue. She was trying to be funny. She denies fully and completely that her son would ever use that N word. And then she made it a point here. And I mean, God help me if she is a horrible, racist, disgusting human being. But I just want to say that she made a good point. She said, you know, listen, my kid is in pain and my kid is suffering, and hate me if you want to, but please, please, please don't let your hate for me trump talking to your kids. If your kids are going, if your kid is bullying someone, if your kid is going through this, if your kid is being bullied, if your kid is a bully, please, 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 like that. I mean, you can tell that child's sadness was genuine. I mean, you can. Star 570, 519-570-2545. But it really kind of gets back into the idea, if you want to talk about this story about Keaton and or his mom, it really kind of reaffirms that saying hurt people. You know, I took my little guy, I'm going to brag about him again, sorry. Let's be honest. So the kid does some pretty bad stuff sometimes too. He's not all sunshine and roses, just like any other human being. But I took my son to see, actually my son took me to see Wonder, the movie Wonder, a couple weeks ago. And there's a scene in the movie of Wonder. Wonder is the story about the little boy who looks different and he's had some surgeries and so on and so forth. And he's been homeschooled and his mom sends him off to school. His mom's Julia Roberts. And there's some pretty horrible bullying going on. And Aggie, his name is Aggie, is bullied by, you know, one child consistently and consecutively. And so this kid gets hauled into the principal's office and with his parents. And it becomes quite clear, quite very quickly, that Aggie is being bullied by a kid who's being bullied by his mom. You can tell that the bully he learned every single little bit of it from his mother. She was, you know, a blame shifter, and she didn't own any of her child's behavior. She certainly didn't own any of her kids' behavior. So, your stories, star 570, 519-570-2545, because maybe your kid was a bully. Did you have to deal with that? Did you have to deal with your child being a bully? And how do you do that? Because I think that bullies are created, and I'm not saying it's your fault as a parent. I'm just saying I think that anger, that hurt is too much for someone to carry, and it comes out, and then it's vomited all over other people, because it's easier to just pass that pain and give that pain to someone else than it is to try and figure out what that hurt is and where it's coming from. Or are some children just born inherently terrible? Because I don't think they are. And, you know, it reminds me of that other saying, too. Just tread lightly, because everyone you meet is carrying a great burden that you know nothing about. But it was my son in the movie, who turned to me and said, he said, Mom, that kid is a bully because his mom is a bully to him. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I'm very happy that you can see that, little boy. I'm very happy that you can see that. So we'll follow this story about Keaton Jones and his mother, Kimberly Jones. And I hate that Keaton's, you know, pain that he just so authentically shared is being question, but rightfully so, if there's more to this story. But I mean, I do respect his mom for saying, you know, even if you hate me for having a picture of the Confederate flag, and I do regret that, and I would take that back. Please, please don't let this issue die just because you think that I am, that you hate me. you have to listen to Keaton's message, and we have to kind of shut this down. Oh, look at that. All out of time. Once again, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your emails, and I appreciate you coming back to us every day on 570 News. Enjoy this snowy Tuesday, and I will see you in the morning.